Chanukah Sameach, Chodesh Tov Mevorach, and we are holding today on Zvachim, Daf et Tzadik Chet, which is nice and clear. So let's just catch up and remember where we're holding in the middle. First of all, we've been dealing with the issue, which is yet the new idea of Kol Asher Yiga B'Besara Yigdash. So besides the dinim of Marika V'Shtifa, and the dinim of Shviras Kli Cheres, and the dinim of the dam of the Chatas Asher Yizala Beget, there was a fourth halacha that we waited until almost the end to discuss, and that is Kol Asher Yiga B'Besara Yigdash. And yesterday we learned out that that yigab bivisara means that it has to be absorbed into the actual, the taste itself has to be absorbed. And Rashi learns not that the taste itself, but rather the mamashut itself, so that you would have had to have actual shuman, let's say, that was coming from the chatas. And that would be mixed into the tam of the kadshim kalim or the tam of the chulin. And the nafka, by the way, that question about whether we're talking about the mamashut, and the issue over here would be whether heter is mitztaref l'iser, as Rashi learns, or whether we're talking about ta'am, which the Mishnah had discussed, nice and ta'am, and then the issue would be whether ta'am ki'ikr is actually, this is Rashi's approach all over, that ta'am ki'ikr is only drabonan, and that heter mitztaref l'iser is what we learn out over here. Now, these are massive sugyas in various mesechtot. Here we're just touching upon it. And the question of the way Rashi understands it, that would mean that the Mishnah's inyan would only be a drabonan, where tam ke'ikr. But what we're talking about is where there's actual mamashut, and it's good that Gavi has finally shown up, because we've been talking about some important Gavi klalim, which we want to make sure that he's got, which we spoke about last night, which is heter mitztaref l'iser, and Tam Ke'ikr, according to Rashi, being only a Darabonah. And now we also learned out from there that whatever the din is of the Mor Mekudash, or the Mor Chamur, I should say, that's the din of whatever touched it. Now, sometimes, remarkably, the thing that is less Mekudash could be more Chamur. Because imagine a case in which you have a Shlamim on its second day, it touches something that was chatas, right? Now, the shlamim has got to be finished tonight because the two days have only one night in between, whereas the chatas does not have to be finished tonight. It doesn't become nota until the morning. And therefore, we end up being more machmir because of the shlamim than on the chatas. Don't take it for granted that the only issue that we're talking about is the question of whether it needs to be eaten lezichrei kuhuna, whether it needs to be eaten only by the end of today, or whether it's dinner being eaten only in the Azorah. There might be a chumra in the other direction, that it has to be eaten today, meaning by the end of the daylight today, if it's a case of shlomi. Anyway, those were the issues that we were dealing with. And the last thing that we had asked was, how do we know that this din of Kol Asher Yigab Bivsara Yigdash is a halacha not only in chatas, because after all, it is introduced with the Zot Torah Tachatat. How do we know that this is a din in all of the Kachim, which we've been discussing here as if it's a Dover Poshet, that it was included in all the Kachim? But how did we know that? So on that, the last thing that we had learned last night was we went through the beautiful pasuk that compares all of the various karbonais. At the end of all of the dinim of the karbonais, we have a pasuk that doesn't seem to be necessary at all. After telling me what Zot Torah Tachatat is, and what Zot Torah Ta'olah is, and what Zot Torah Zevach HaShlamim, why do we need to go over the entire thing by saying Zot HaTorah La'olah, La mincha, v'la chatat, v'la asham, v'la miluim, v'la zevach ha-shelamim? What is the point in that? Now remember, yesterday, we learned from each one of the karbonas a halacha that would now be reflected in all the karbonas. Today, we're going to see that Rabbi Akiva has a different, he does agree with the general idea, but he has a different list, in part, of some of the things that is learned out from one to the other. So yesterday we learned the way that Rabbi Eliezer had understood the pasuk was that from Ola we learn out that you need a knife. And that was learned out remarkably from Akedas Yitzchak, Vayikach et ha-ma'achelet lishkot et beno, which related all korbanos. Sorry. All korbanos, therefore, to korban chatas. Sorry. All korbanos to Akedas Yitzchak, which is a beautiful idea b'chol, because remember that it was the Ephrod shel Yitzchak that identified, according to Oman the Omar, how they knew where the Mizbeach was. So it's beautiful that all of the Korbanos, the din of the Shechit of all of the Korbanos, is learned directly from Akedas Yitzchak. Fantastic. Anyway, so that's what we learned out from Ola. From Mincha, we learned out that all things are eaten to Zichrei Kuhuna, even things that we didn't know beferish, which was the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. And that ended up being Machlokas. We learn that from here. From Chatas, we learn out this din, that just Chatas is Bekadesh Bevalua, and the din is that anything that touches it, Yikdash, meaning anything that is Balua with the Chatas is Yikdash. So too other Karbonais, Kachim Kachim, Kachim Kalim, anything that is mentioned over here, which is everything, is also Mekudesh through Balua, which again, remember, according to Rashi, is not the Bliya of the Ta'am, but rather the Bliya of the Mamashut, to teach me that Heter Mitzarif is. What do we learn out from Asham? Well, since an Asham is a male, and therefore there's no Shvir Vishilya, it would be pretty hard to find a fetus or a sack in a male. So I've called Shvir Vishilya Kadosh Bay, and that, of course, was a question of whether this is another Gavi Klal, a question of whether Vlada is Kutcher Bahavayatan, Hein Kidoshin, are they only Kodesh at birth? And this was another question as well. Danim Efshar, Mishi Efshar. Can you learn out something that is ridiculous? I mean, obviously, an Osham being a male cannot have a Kedusha of a fetus. So that's the question. Can we utilize as a model something where the whole idea wouldn't even apply or not? That's called Danim Efshar, Mishi Efshar, another famous Gavi Klal that's adding additional sparks to his magic wand. I have a terrible feeling that he lost his magic wand, in which case we'll have to send him a new one, because I haven't seen that magic wand for a while. Maybe it's run out of sparks. We could send you a new one that's filled with new sparks. So we've got a milui. Just let me know. Okay. And what did we learn out from the miluim, which was the strange addition to all of the korbanos, for the korbanos of the miluim? Like, what in the world do we learn out from the miluim? They're really just korbanos like we have. I mean, they're not a different type of korban. And that came to tell me that just like there was no backup in the miluim, and therefore that means there was no motarot. So just like if there were any motarot in the miluim, they were not motarot of achrayut, of backup animals, they were just leftover meat or the meat that was supposed to be burnt because it was done bifnim. So it teaches us that even where there are motarot, meaning in a korban yochid that set aside achrayut, those animals would not be destroyed. Only the leftover of the actual nishkat is considered the motar. From shlomim, we learned that, of course, the din that shlomim are mefaglim, and they're mitpaglim. And remember, there were two other possibilities of where we learned that halacha from. As I mentioned to you yesterday, a lot of these things were actual multiple limudim. It was a machlokas tanoim where we learned them. Yesterday we saw it was a machlokas about whether we learn out from mincha that zivchei shalmei tzibur are eaten by kohanim. And indeed today, it turns out that in Rabbi Akiva's list of things that we learn out from each thing, we learn out something very different from mincha. And that would fit with the fact that we saw that others learn out the din of Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur L'Kohanim from elsewhere. So, B'matnita Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, we have a braita that Rabbi Akiva is quoted in that gives us a different list. Ela, yes, but what's the second case of mincha? Mincha is to tell me that just like minchas mitkadeshes bibalua, so too anything is mitkadeshet bivalua. Now, that sounds weird because we just learned that out from Chatas, and obviously it appears by Chatas. So what in the world does it mean by telling me that this is a din? We learn a mincha. It's true that it does say kol anogea behem yigdash, in mincha as well. So, but why do we actually need both? Ah, because the truth is, itzrich lemichtav mincha, ve'itzrich lemichtav chatat. There's some things about the dinim of balua that we wouldn't have known if the Torah only told us the din of mincha, and we might not have been able to establish the din of mincha if we had known chatas. Because let's say the Torah only said minchas. Was it okay? The mincha is a very unique case because the mincha is easily permeable. And if something touches it, I mean, it's like soft. You know, we're talking about solid. So if something touches it, of course, we understand that it can transfer and it can absorb. So that makes sense. Masha'inkein, chatas. I mean, a chatas is tough. It's not going to be penetrated or penetrate, you know. So I would have thought that the mincha, yes, aydi derechicha is mibal'ah. Because of that, it actually would be able to absorb and would share its whatever it has with whatever it touches. But a chatas, I mean, that's like tough meat, you know? So that maybe would be different. V'yashmin chatas, which is chatas, once something penetrates basar like a chatas, it's hard to get out, and therefore it spreads, and it's something that answers the whole thing. But maybe a mincha, which it's not something that holds on to anything so deeply, maybe that wouldn't answer. Therefore, we need to know both. Okay, moving on now. According to Rabbi Akiva, now I know what mincha teaches. What does chatas teach, according to Rabbi Akiva? Chatas teaches us that just like chatas, ina ba'ala menachulin ubiyom ubiyado hayimanit, so too all korbanot. You have to actually use it with your avoda being done by your right hand. It has to be a carbon that's brought from chulin and not that was kadosh with some other kedusha like maaser behima or something like that. And it has to be brought in the daytime. So too, all korbanot in aba ela min achulin uvyom uviado hayimanit. So this is a klal of all korbanos. But why are you assuming that this is a din chatas? I don't remember seeing that in chatas. Where does it say it by chatas, those three things? Om Rav Chisda, Om Arkra, v'ikriv Aaron et para chatat asher lo. Asher lo means that it has to be mishel lo. So then that means that it's teaching us that when you bring a chatas, it's your own money and not mishel tzibur and not mishel maaser. You can't use a kedusha maaser sheni even where you think, okay, that's mine to use, but not for being yotzi your chatas. And what does it say? Bayom? Bayom. Bayom is not a din in chatas. Bayom is a din in all korbanos. It says in the Torah, Biyom Tzavoto et Bnei Yisrael. That is a pasuk that teaches us that this is the overall, remember, pasuk. Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, Biyom Tzavoto et Bnei Yisrael akriv et korbanayim, etc. So obviously, it's stressing the Biyom on every one of the korbanos. Why did he say, Rabbi Akiva, that we learn it from chatas? And don't we know it from Yom Tzavoto? Yes, you're right, 100%. Usually, these three things go hand in hand. Usually, we have Yado Hayamanis together with Mishalo and together with Bayom. So we put the three things together. And therefore, over here, we also put them together, but it was really Kedei Nazba, I got to admit. And we weren't supposed to really say the Din of Yom, which was learned from Yom Tzavoto. But wait a minute, you're saying that I need to do it with my right hand? Is that also a din specifically in chatas? I mean, didn't we learn that out from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana? The Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, kol makom shenemar etzba uchuhuna eno ela yamin. Any place in the Torah where it says etzba uchuhuna is enough. And therefore, I should know that this is true from on all the korbanos. It always says at least HaKohen, so therefore it should be a din in the kahuna, which means it's the right. Isn't that what you said? Yeah, gosh, I guess that was also Kedei Nazba. We only mentioned that agav. But really the only thing that we learn out from the chatas is that it's mishalot. Or you know what I could say? I could say that actually we did need to mention it. Why? Because if this Tana holds like Rabbi Shimon, And remember, before Rav Shimon says, if it says etzba and it doesn't say kohen, then that is enough to tell me that you need yamin. But if it says kohen and it doesn't say etzba, now, then it does not necessarily mean that it has to do with yamin. And therefore, what about the other karbonas? You're right, it does say kohen by all the karbonas, but by chatas it says kohen and etzba. So from the chatas we learn out, it was correct to say that even where it doesn't say etzba, we learn it out of the chatas. Okay, and how does Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva say we learn out of Asham? Asham comes to tell me that just like the Asham atzamot of mutarim, Avkol atzamot of mutarim. So as we discussed before, it means even the atzamos of, let's say, you'd say an eila, the atzamot are put up together with the evorim. True, but where we have just the atzamot are given to the kohen, even though the basar of an eila is not given to a kohen because of the comparison to Asham. You can go and make your challah knife, remember, was the case we were talking about before, out of the atzamot of the eila too. Amar Rava. So now, when we get back to this question of the idea of the interrelationship of some of these concepts. So we were talking about the din of Belia, the din of the dam that's on the beged, and the din of Belia in Kli Cheres. Is there like a relationship between those two? So let me ask you like this. Is the din of the spattering that we talked about, any blood that splatters on a beged, is that a din in Belia? I'll tell you where it would make a difference, as Rabbi. It's clear that, let's say, first some damchatas splattered on a beged. And on top of that damchatas, now damola splatters on the beged. So you have damchatat lemata, and you have damola lemala. It's obvious to me that in a case like that, ton kibus. Because there the chatas directly touched and was absorbed by the beged. The fact that there's dam oila on top of it, why would that take away the din of cleaning it? But what I would want to know is what about in the opposite situation? What about where first dam oila falls on the beged, and then on top of that, dam chatat falls? Now, here's my question. Is this din of kivos? Remember, the concepts that we made the difference in terms of negia for belia, whereas that even though it says kol asher yiga bivisara, right? So we learned out, no, it has to be bivisara. There has to be an absorption. And the meaning of the word negia was just to tell me that it's only the point of contact up till wherever the thickness of absorption was, which we said was the thickness of an etzba. Fine, if there's just negia. But when it comes to the dam, it was never clear to me whether what we're talking about is if the dam comes in contact with the material of the beged, or does it mean it has to actually be absorbed by the material of the beged? Now, in a case where the material will not absorb, so what is that? Well, you sprayed it with Teflon spray first, you know? Or I can think of an easier case. Dam ola falls first. And the dam of the ola is not mechayev of kivos. Remember, the din of kivos is limited to the chatas itself, as we learned out before. So now if dam ola falls on a beged, it's essentially the same as spraying it with Teflon. It's not going to now absorb any additional dam after that dam ola was now absorbed into the fibers. And the dam of the chatas is going to remain on top. Is that enough to be mechayev kivos? Or is the Torah only mechayev kivos similar to the way that it was mechayev marika v'shtifa, that there needs to be a belia? Or similar to the way that, which we, that truth is that I said that, but it, we remember the Gemara never actually paskin one way or the other about that. But definitely in terms of the din of negia, which was belia, because it says bivisara, there it meant that it needed to be balua. What's the din when it comes to the dam of the chatas? This is fascinating, right? So finally, at the end of the sugya, we're putting together the different aspects of these four special halachas that all occur in the Zot Torah Tachatat Parsha Nisav. So I want to know, is the din of the hazayah on a beged, is that mishum nogeya? Is it because it's touching? Well, if it's because it's touching, this is touching, v'hanogeya. Or is this also a din in bli'ah? And in this case, it's not bli'ah because it had all of the dam of the oila first, and therefore there was no bli'ah dam achatat, v'halo bli'ah. In the end, Rava just mitzad asfara, and the way that he saw the entire din shaping up, he was pershet his own question, and he decided it's a din in bli'ah and in to unan. Kivus. Now, it's not clear whether that still means that it would be the same as a kli. Because remember, we said if it was a kli, then you're going to have to scrape it off, right? So, l'chora, even if here it's not a din in kivus, it might still be a din in needing to take off the dam. That's something else. But this raises another fascinating issue. Because the shaila is, isn't blood itself a chatzitza? If blood is a chatzitza, then maybe we shouldn't even call it a nogeya. Because, I mean, if I put it into a mikveh and I had some dried blood on something, it would not be a good tefillah because the dam would be a chatzitza between the main mikveh and the beged that I'm trying to be teva. But over here, didn't I just take it for granted that it would be called negiah? And so what Rava raises now is very much like a subliminal kind of thing, because the Gemara doesn't admit that the issues are connected. But the fact is that it immediately raises in your mind the question of, does chatzitza mean that there is no negiah? Or does chatzitza mean there's an incomplete negiah? And what we're learning over here is that even though the dam would be chotzeitz, but it does not mean that there would be no negiah at all. For Haraya, I'm telling you that if the din would have been a negiah, then you would have had to wash a beged without the bli'ah of the chatas in it because there was the dam ha'ela underneath. Which raises the next question. Omar Rava Pshitali, it's clear to me, despite what I just said, that if you have dam on your beged, then that is a chatzitza between the beged and the mei mikveh, and it means that it's a hefsek between the mikveh. But let me ask you something. Think about this. Suppose the person who's wearing the beged couldn't care less. He works as a butcher. Right. So now all day long, I mean, he's got blood splattering over his butcher, his white butcher coat, you know, and now he wants to be tevelet. You're going to tell me he can't be tevelet because he's got some blood on his butcher thing? I mean, he doesn't care about the butcher thing. So therefore, I would say that im tabachu, if he's a butcher, it's not a chatzitza. So what does that mean? It's not a chatzitza. Let me ask you something. Suppose he put the whole butcher coat into the mikveh, except for the little piece that had the dam on it. Would that be a kosher tefillah? No. So what does chatzitza mean? If chatzitza is the same as not putting it into the mikveh, so how could something not be a chatzitza just because you don't care that there's any dam on it, you see? So haven't I essentially shown you that they're not the same? The difference between not being in the water and not requiring any kind, it's contact. Of course, it's contact with the water. Nonetheless, it's a chatzitza. It is not considered to be the type of contact that the mikveh would be makshir. Now, my question is, suppose he's got like wax, or he's got oil on his beged. Well, that would also be a chatzitza. But how about if he is a seller of revav? That's what he deals with. He deals with either selling wax or selling oils and so on. How about there? So that would be like a gas station attendant who has oil stains on his gas station apron. If that's his business, then the oil stains are not going to be a chatzitza in a chotzitz. My only question is, what if he's got both a oil stain and a blood stain. What about them? What kind of question is that? Says the Gemara. He's got dam urevav al bigdo. Obviously. So then no matter what he is, I mean, if he is a butcher, so then he should not be able to be toivolit because he's got revav on it. He has an oil stain, a grease stain. V'imoche revavu, and if he sells those kind of things, he's a gas station attendant, then why does he have blood on, unless he's an Arab, but otherwise, why would he have blood on his baguette just because he's a gas station attendant? Well, no, Rava wanted to know where this guy is a gas station attendant who also does some butchering on the side, or vice versa. So now he's got two different stains. Is this idea that a person is not makpid, is that only on one thing he's not makpid, but if he really looks like an impossible slob, then he's not going to go out with it? If he would be makpid or not? That's my question. Lotzricha de avid havaha. Do we say, achada lo kapid? Person's not makpid, that he looks like he's busy doing what he does. So, I mean, he's a gas station attendant. Okay, I'm certainly not going to pretend that I'm sitting here in a three-piece suit. I mean, obviously, this is my work, and I'm proud of my work. If he's a butcher, it's the same thing. But suppose he looks just like a total slob, and he's in this unusual situation of working in both issues. That, I want to know. Maybe even a tartilo kapid, or maybe he is teku. Hadran alach dam chatat.
Bli neder. Fountain elekaperek.
Now, here is poor Richie having no choice but introducing Tvuyom. We fooled him. Yes, indeed. We fooled Richie. Now he's got no choice. He's going to have to join us in Tvuyom.
That is shocking.
Unbelievable. Okay, so now moving on. The last thing we discussed over here was the concept of Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor being given out to the Kohanim as well. But which Kohanim are given out pieces of the Korbanos to eat? What if they're not Roi? So a Tvuyom and a Mechuser Kippurim, who is unable to eat his korban, einan cholkim b'kodashim le'achol la'erev, the guy comes in and he says, I want a piece. So you can't eat this. You're a Tvuyom. I know. Chas v'sholem, I wouldn't eat it today. I'll eat it tonight after sunset. I just want you to give me out the piece now, and then I'll have it this evening for supper. Einan cholkim b'kodashim le'achol la'erev. They do not have a chelek, even though at the time that they could eat it. But since it wasn't roi, as we're going to see tomorrow, it wasn't roi b'sha'ah that it was actually brought as a korban, they are not given any of that chelek. So that means that in order to have a chelek, you have to be able to eat it now. As far as the prate dinam are concerned, Bezrat Hashem, we will see about this tomorrow.